Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Samach Ches Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Harei Shabo V'Omar, if somebody comes and says, Ovat Shtar Chovi, I had a document that indicate that somebody owed me money, and that document was lost. Harei Shabo V'Omar, Ovat Shtar Chovi, the document that says that somebody owes me money was lost. Al bishamru edim, even if we have edim that testify on the kasabnuv chasamnuv nusanuloi, we wrote, signed, and delivered the shtar to him. Ein kaisum shtar. We do not rewrite the shtar. For we are concerned that now he will have, as the Gemara will explain at length, two documents indicating that someone owes him money. The Rishonim say that the Gemara is teaching us that even though there are Edim that not only saw the signing, the writing and the signing of the shtar, they actually even saw the delivery of the shtar. So perhaps because of that we should certainly say that the shtar should be rewritten. Teaches us the Gemara that we still do not rewrite the shtar. However, the Rishonim go on to say that even if the date of the shtar, the due date of this loan, had not yet come, and we have a halacha that we've learned many times that chazaka ein adam perei choyvei b'toich zmanai, that typically people don't pay off their loans before the due date, so certainly that should be a proof that the shtar has not yet been paid up. And therefore the halacha perhaps ought to be that they should be able to rewrite the shtar. Still, it seems to be the opinion of the Rishonim that even then we don't rewrite the shtar However, the question that I did see that the Ravid addresses is that even if it's still before the date of the shtar, they were saying that we still don't rewrite the shtar. The Ravid says that the malva, under those circumstances where it's prior to the due date of the shtar, would have a right to make a claim for the monies that are owed based on the chazaka, that chazaka in adam perei choyvai. People don't typically pay off the loan before the time. Says the Gemara, the Medvar Amurim, when was this said? B'shtari halva, by loan documents. Avol shtari mekach memkar, when we're referring to shtar mekach memkar, a sale, a deed, where there's a question where I come and I say, I bought a property from you and I lost the deed. Says the Brisa Kaisum, then we do rewrite the deed. However, we don't rewrite the achrayus that I could collect if this property is taken away from me, because as the Gemara will describe again in Mitzvah Shem soon, it could lead to abuse. The Tysus asks, so if we're rewriting this shtar, what date is put into it? So the Rishonim say as follows: if the seller of the property agrees that the shtar should be rewritten, that the deed should be rewritten, then we could write the original date of the shtar. However, in a situation where there's a dispute where the seller isn't just agreeing that the shtar should be rewritten, there the halacha is that we only would rewrite the current date, because we have to be concerned, explained the Rishonim, that perhaps the field was bought and sold and then bought from a buyer, again sold back to that buyer, to that original seller, and then the buyer bought it again. And the only way to be sure is that we're not writing the wrong date, and that lekuchas, who a mortgage is put on them, will not be adversely affected, is by writing the current date. I did see a different pshat, interesting pshat, that certain rishonim suggest that no date should be written into this new shtar. And they have a very nice explanation, this is the pshat of the Sefer Torah Chaim. He says the entire reason we write a date into a shtar is because of achrayus, that to know from what point a mortgage begins. But if we're saying now, if the Gemara is saying now, that we're not going to put an achrayus into the shtar, as we're going to soon explain, so there's no issue of a mortgage in the shtar anyway. If there's no issue of a mortgage in the shtar anyway, then don't put in any date to avoid any problem. The Rishonim also go on to explain that what is the difference between a shtar havo and a shtar mekach. Shtar mekach memkar. They were saying that by shtar havo we do, by shtar mekach memkar we're less concerned and we do rewrite the shtar versus the shtar havo. And they explain as follows: there are two purposes in a shtar mekach memkar. When I buy a property, one is to create a mortgage, and two is to create a proof of ownership. So even though, as the Gemara says, creating a mortgage is an issue, because if we create a mortgage, maybe somebody is going to be, maybe property will be taken away from someone, which should not have happened. That's only as far as creating a mortgage is concerned. However, when we speak about the halacha of a shtar proving that I own the property, that certainly I'm entitled to. And therefore the halacha is, as the Gemara just taught us, that if a shtar mekach memkar was lost, we would rewrite it. Whereas a shtar havo, the entire purpose of such a shtar is really just to create an opportunity to be able to collect, to be able to collect what's owed to me. And not only what's owed to me, but also to mortgage. And as we're learning, it may turn out that somebody will be taken advantage of. That's why we're quicker to rewrite a shtar mekach memkar versus rewriting a shtar havo. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, av shtar mekach memkar in Kaisrin. We wouldn't rewrite even a shtar mekach memkar. Because Rav Shimon and Gamaliel's opinion, and we'll discuss it later and in future sure more in Mitzvah Shem, is the Ken Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, because I nois matana l'chaveroi, if I give you a gift, if I give you a gift a field, and then v'hechzalais the shtar, chazer matanosai. Just by giving back the shtar, that's how you could repurchase or re-get ownership of something that you gave me. V'cham Omerim, Matanasa Kayemis, just returning the shtar isn't an effective means of creating a kinyan. And therefore, according to Shimon Gamaliel, there is a real concern that what happened here was that, yes, I bought a property from you, and then I sold back the property to you. How was that a sale achieved just by giving back the shtar? And therefore, when I come now and I say that the shtar was lost, it isn't my field anymore. It's your field. And therefore the halacha is that we should not even, according to Shimon Gamaliel, rewrite a shtar mekach if the holder claims it was lost. Why does Shimon Gamaliel speak about a case of matana? So the Rishonim explain, because typically if I buy a field, there's going to be a kinyan of one of the other types of kinyanim are used. But in a kinyan of a fee, in a gift, usually all that's used is just a shtar, and therefore gifts are traded back and forth just with a shtar, and therefore that's the case of Shimon goes on to speak about. Furthermore, the Rishonim try to understand the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says the kain hayir of Shimon Omer. Furthermore, Rav Shimon said this. The word v'chein, furthermore, is really inappropriate, because it's not that it's v'chein. The entire basis for understanding this halacha, why a shtar mekach should not be rewritten, is because of Shimon Gamliel's ruling. Why does the Gemara use the word v'chein? So they explain that, number one, there's always a concern that if I walk in and I say that I lost the shtar mekach, that I may be lying, because maybe I had sold the property really before it wasn't lost, I had just sold it. So what the Gemara is saying is that there are two concerns. Number one, there's a concern that maybe I sold the property, and furthermore, even if I didn't sell the property to someone else, maybe I gave it back to the original owner, maybe I gave it back to the original owner, and all that's required in giving it back to the original owner is just returning the shtar. But now, the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. We learned in the previous sugya, in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, the kaisen shtar lemoicher apish en lekeich imoy. That the halacha is that if I walk into Seifer, to Besdin, and I say, write a shtar on my behalf, that I'm selling a property to somebody, even though the buyer is not here, we write the shtar on my behalf. Ask the Rishonim, why should we not be concerned, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that I asked that a number of shtaris indicating that I sold this property to someone else should be written. I sell the property, I give the buyer the deed, and then I have another deed, which according to the Mishnah that we learned previously, I could easily have, saying that I sold the property to someone else, because any soifer will write such a shtar on my behalf. And now I'll come into Besdin and say that I repurchased the property. And what's the proof that I repurchased the property? The fact that I have the original deed saying that I sold the property to someone else. Rav Shimon Gamliel says just getting back that deed is a proof that I repurchased the property. So Taisva says two terutzim. One terutz that he gives is that this would not be effective in a situation where the buyer already is on the field 3 years, where the buyer already has a chazaka. In such a case, just having the shtar, even according to Shimon Gamliel, would not be good enough. The obvious difficulty with this teretz is that, and what about until the buyer has a chazaka? Why would the Mishnah say that we could write a shtar on behalf of the meicher without the lekeich there if we could have this concern? So Taisha says that even though Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's an effective means of accomplishing a kinyan, of me getting back my field just by getting back the original shtar, which indicated that I sold the field to you, we have to have edim that I got back, that saw that the buyer of my field gave me back the shtar. So the obvious question, if even according to Shimon Gamliel, this we could just by returning the shtar, a kinyan is affected, but edim are required, so what does our Mishnah say? What does our Braisa say that we don't rewrite a shtar mekach? Because we're concerned that maybe the seller got the field back. Why should we be concerned? Taisa says we need edim. There are no edim here. So the Rishonim respond, because the Braisa, according to Shimon Gamliel, is concerned that since we're rewriting the shtar, that would be a clear indication, or Besdin may make the mistake, that even if there are edim, that the buyer returned the shtar to the seller, which normally affects a kinyan, the fact that Besdin wrote a second deed should be stronger than the giving back of the shtar, even with edim, which of course is not true. So in order to avoid such a potential error, according to Shimon Gamliel, a shtar mekach should not be rewritten. Amamar, so we just learned that if a shtar mekach, if the buyer of a field claims that he lost the shtar, it can be rewritten according to the Tanakama, chutz mechrai shabai, besides the clause of a chrais, my tama. Why is that the reason? Amrav Safra, We don't write two deeds regarding one field, for we are concerned. I bought a property from someone. This is the property that I'm claiming I lost the deed, that we want the deed rewritten. We need to be concerned, says Rav Safra, that the person who I purchased the property from owed money to someone. And because he owed money to someone, that person now will come to the property that I had bought from the seller. The person who I bought property from owed money. He's going to take away that property because he has a lien on that property. Now that I lost the property, what will I do? I will go now and collect the tarif lekuchas. I'm going to collect from the people who bought property from the person who sold me my property, because I lost my property to my seller's balchayif. So the Rishonim ask, if there are people from whom I could collect the property that I lost, why did the balchayif, obviously they were later mortgage holders, and the later you are on the list, the first you are to be mortgaged to take away your property from. So why did the balchayif come to me and not go to those individuals? So I saw three answers in the Rishonim. One answer given is that the field that I have was an apoiteki. Apoiteki means apoiteikoi. It was designated that from this field, the Baal Choyf could collect his debt. Even though there are later lekuchas, the Baal Choyf collects from here. Another answer, and this is a review of a sugya that we learned earlier in Amasechta. We spoke about a sugya of the ikni, that if property is not owned at the point that the loan takes place, can one write into the shtar that not only the properties that I currently own become mortgaged to my debt, but even properties, the ikni, that I will buy? And we learned a sugya if one can or can't make such a mortgage. But it was certainly clear that if such a clause doesn't exist in the shtar, then those properties aren't mortgaged. And that's the case here. That the property that I, the purchaser, the buyer bought, already belonged to the seller when he became a Baal Chayiv, and therefore was mortgaged. These other properties from which I'm now going to collect were not owned by the seller at the time of the loan, but were owned by the seller at the time that I bought the property. And the third teretz, which is a perfect introduction to the next words of the Gemara, is that actually the Baal Chayiv could have gone to those lekuchos instead of going to me. But as the Gemara is now going to explain, there's some sort of a conspiracy that's going on between me and the Baal Chayiv. And that's why he specifically comes to me, because we're colluding together to do the wrong thing. What happens like this. The Baal Chayiv, as we just said, collected the property from me, and I went to the lekuchos to get compensation. Now I turn around to the Baal Chayiv. I, the buyer, turn around to the Baal Chayiv. Vamlei le Baal Chayiv, shufli de ekimba. Give me back this property. Why? Because of hadad tarfin. Let me be on the property a couple of years till everybody will forget what happened here. Now you again come and collect the field that I'm on as a Baal Chayiv. And now, since I have a second deed, mapik achrina, I'll now take out my second deed. For hada azul taraf lekuchas achrini, I'll go now and collect from other lekuchas. And like this, I will have been able to collect from the lekuchas twice. And as Rishonim explained, and now I and this Baal Chayiv will divide the profit. Ask the Gemara, how can we ever have such a concern? V'kivin the karina l'shtar d'mava, v'may hada tarapa. What happened here? The Baal Chayiv of the seller comes and takes the field away from me, and then I tell him, let me stay on it and we'll go through this charade again. And then again you'll come collect, and I'll again go collect from lekuchas. How could he come collect again? The first time he collected the field, Bezdin rips up the shtar. Because as the Rashbam explains, an introduction to the next words of the Gemara, there's an entire procedure which is undertaken in collecting, when a Baal Chayiv collecting property if he can't, if he's owed money. That means, if a Baal Chayiv goes to the loiva, if a Malva goes to the loiva and says, money is owed to me, he brings his shtar. If the loiva doesn't have any means of paying up that loan, Bezdin rips up the shtar Malva and writes a shtar tirfa. A shtar tirfa is a collection warrant which gives the lender the ability to look for assets that were owed by the, that were owned by the borrower, that he could, at the time of the loan, that are mortgaged to his loan. The Rishonim point out that this entire procedure is typically only followed where the lender and the borrower don't live in the same place, or the borrower doesn't really have assets here, and the lender is concerned that he has assets in foreign countries hidden away. And the shtar tirfa gives him the ability to go seek out those assets. Once he finds those assets, he comes to Bezdin, tells Bezdin that I want to take possession or repossession of those assets, and the shtar tirfa is ripped up, and a shtar drachta is written. After the shtar, which gives him the ability to collect those specific assets, after the shtar draft is written, we now appraise the value of those assets to see how much they're worth next to the loan that's owed to him. And the shtar draft is written, ripped up, and now we have a shtar shuma. But the bottom line is that the shtar milva is immediately ripped up. So if the shtar milva, as the Gemara, is ripped up, how can we be concerned that we're going to go through, that I'm going to collude, that I, the buyer, I'm going to collude with the Baal Chayiv, that he should come back in a couple of years, he won't have a shtar milva to come back with. The Chitema asked the Gemara, the Leikarina, that we don't rip up the shtar milva. Says the Gemara, that's not true, because the Kamar Rav Nachman, called Tefer the Leiksibay, if the Tefer doesn't say Karina le shtar milva, lav Tefer, it's not a valid shtar Tefer. Furthermore, because drachted like Sibba Karina le Tefer, lav drachtehi. Because Shumad like Sibba Karina le drachta, lav Shumahi. So what are we worried about that he's going to collect it today? Then I'm going to go back on the property so we could start this all over again. He won't be able to do this in a few years because he doesn't have the shtar milva with him anymore. Says the Gemara, letzricha da akasa mekoich avasei. What happened here is the Gemara just changes it somewhat. It's what the case is as follows. I bought the property. I claim I lost the deed. A new deed is written for me. Now someone comes along and says, you know, this property that you claimed you bought really belongs to me. It's my father's. And now the story begins all over again. So I give him the property. I collect from my seller's lekuchas to compensate for my loss. Then I and this individual who took the original property away from me conspire that I should go back on the property. And a couple of years ago, we'll do this again, where he'll go and take the property again, claiming that it belongs to him, may avasei, and I again, because I have a second deed, so even if the first deed was ripped up, I have a second deed, will collect from the lekuchas. To avoid such a problem, Chazal said that if we're rewriting the deed, we can't rewrite it with a chrayis in it. Why do we have to go into such a complicated case? Let me stay here, and then you'll take it in a couple of years so I could collect from the Kuchas a second time. Typically, why shouldn't we just say that the reason you can't write two deeds with a chrayis, the kim the nokatre shtari, if I have two documents, two deeds, with achrayis, there's always a concern, tarif, for how the tarif, that I can always collect from lekuchas twice if I have two shtaris, or I could go to two lekuchas at the same time because I have two deeds, two shtaris from which to go to lekuchas. And says the Gemara, that is not a concern that Chazal had, that I will go to two lekuchas at the same time. Because imkein the fishal abeldinan. If they're both situations are going to happen at the same time, so everybody's going to know about the other, and therefore I'm going to get caught. And therefore, for that, Chazal were not concerned. Ask the Gemara that we said that we don't rewrite the deed with a chrayis in it. Ask the Gemara, why not? V'lichtav l'hai shtar ma'aliyah, let us rewrite a perfectly fine shtar. V'lichtav tarv l'maicher, but why don't we just write a receipt to the seller saying, kol shtar the yifkan dar dar psulim, any deeds that will be produced for this property are invalid. Levam the yifkan bezom nadar, which essentially we're saying is that when we rewrite the deed, we should include a clause that says that all previous deeds are null and void. Answers the Gemara, Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa, Varmalei Kamed Rav Ashi, Sois Ameres En Kaisvin Shaiver. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's Shir, a sugya about writing receipts, and our Gemara's following the opinion says, Rav, says the Gemara, that we don't want to write receipts, we don't want to, and therefore this isn't a legitimate approach. Says the Gemara, Amalahu, so Rav Papa said to them, it could well be that Ba'al Makos and Shoiver, that typically we do write a receipt. V'hochat Tan Tama, here the reason that we don't write a replacement deed and put and just write a reshiver for the seller saying that this is the valid deed and all other previous deeds are null and void, for we are concerned. The Dilma Azabal Khaif, maybe what's going to happen again is that I bought the property. I'm the person that says that I lost my original deed and a new deed is written. What we're concerned is Dilma Azabal Khaif, the terminated Lakayach. The person who I bought the property from had a Bal Chayv who now will take the property away from me. Why do I go? Vazel Ivatar for Lekuchas. I will go and I'll collect from the Lekuchas. V'shayv agab Lekuchas Lekka. And we're concerned that if I have two deeds, as we learned before, I may end up going to more Lekuchas than I'm allowed to. And the Lekuchas don't have the shaver saying that only the last deed is the valid deed and all previous deeds have been nullified. So to protect the lekuchas, that's why in this case we don't write a shaver, even though maybe in other situations we would write a shaver. Ask the Gemara, Saif Saif lekuchas lav amardam ara hadri. What's the case here? That the property was taken away from me, the seller's bal chayv. And now, because I have two deeds, I will go to two of the lekuchas to collect improperly to get compensated for the loss of my property, where I only should have gone to one. And the lekuchas don't have a shaver saying that only one deed is valid, only the last deed is valid, the previous deeds are all invalid. But what's going to happen? What do the lekuchas do? The lekuchas don't just give up their property. What they do is they now go back to the person who I bought the land from, and he does have the shaver, and he'll be able to say that what I did was wrong going to two lekuchas. Soif soif lekuchas lav amar da ari hadri. Will they not go back to the person who I bought the property from, and therefore my geneva will be caught? Answers the Gemara, yes, I will ultimately be caught. But ada hachi v'hachi shamet v'achal peri. What's going to happen here is that till the lekuchas go back to the seller and say for compensation that they lost their property, I will have eaten peiris incorrectly from both of the fields that I repossessed, because I only had a right to repossess from one. And that we need to, and now once I ate the peiris, it's going to be very hard to get back for me what I took, obviously improperly. So to avoid such a problem, Chazal did not allow that it should be rewritten with and just give the seller a shaver. From here we see, point out the Rishonim lahalacha, that one could go to lekuchas immediately without getting the original seller involved. Because if the halacha were that I cannot go to the lekuchas until the original seller is involved, he'll right away stop me from doing this. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give this teretz is a clear proof that I am allowed to go to the lekuchas of my seller even without the seller first being involved. Inami, the Gemara gives another teretz, lekesh lebechrayis. When would the lekuchas go back to the seller? The lekuchas would go back to the seller in a situation where they bought the property bechrayis. So now what I bought the property, when I took the property away from them, they're going back to their original, to the original person who they bought from with a claim. But if they bought the property without a chrayis, so they know they have no redress to the seller. So they're not even going to bother going back to him. And because they don't think they have anything to go back for. And all, but really, I have cheated them. Ask the Gemara, if this is the concern, then we go back to the beginning of the shiur. Ihachi shtar halva nami, by a loan document. The Gemara at the beginning of the shiur made a difference between halva and sales. That even the Gemara on top of the summit, that even is that we do write a shiver for a loan, we don't write a shiver by a sale. Ask the Gemara, if we just created this scenario, that even by a halva, the halacha should be that we shouldn't write a shiver, because as we just explained, the shiver doesn't give you protection against the case that the Gemara just described. Answers the Gemara, there's a difference between a halva and a mechira. Hasam, in the case where it was a halva, where money was lent and borrowed, Amri, paisa b'chay bezuzay, the borrower probably gave me back the money. They know that since I, that the lender would be satisfied with money, so they, before they give back property to me, because they will ask the borrower whether he paid off the loan with money. And in the course of doing that investigation, they'll become aware of the receipt. However, by a mechira, the aramasik, in a case of a sale, where the buyer is not asking for money back, the buyer is asking for land, made the yadi, the man that masik arab, bezuzal amifayis, I'm not going to be satisfied just by getting money for compensation that I had to give up the land. So they know that I'm looking for land. And when I come to them, they're going to assume that the buyer didn't have land to pay me for me losing the land, and it'll be easier to give up their property. And I'll take property twice if I'll have two deeds. To avoid that, we don't write two deeds by shtar mekach that's lost, and a shiver is not an acceptable approach, even if a shiver is going to be acceptable approach in normal situations of halva. So again, the Gemara says, Amamar, chutz min achrayis shabai. We rewrite the deed, but we don't put in the clause of achrayis. Says the Gemara, hech kesvinet, what do we write? Amar Rav Nachman, teksiva hocha, shtar denan, the loyal migbebe loyum shabdi v'loyum nechayri. This document can be used not to collect from it, neither from Shubadim, and neither from Bechayrim. Elo, keheche de tekem arab yodet lekeheche. The entire purpose of the shtar is only that it should be able to be used as a shtar to prove that I am the owner of the loan. It can't accomplish anything else. Ask the Rishonim, ask the Prisha actually. We understand why it has to say that you can't collect from Mishabodim, because that's what a chrayis is all about. But why do we also have to include in the shtar that you can't collect from Bnei Chayrim? So answers the Prisha. If we won't write into the shtar that you not only can the shtar not be used for collecting from Mishabodim, but you can't even collect from Bnei Chayrim, there's always a concern that I will use the second shtar to collect from Bnei Chayrim. And after I use the second shtar to collect from Bnei Chayrim, I'll take out the first shtar, which I claim was lost but really wasn't, and use it to collect from Mishabadim. To avoid that problem, we have to be specific, not writing Loi Mishabadim, Loi Bnei Chayrim. Amar Afram, Zois Ameres, because we have to write in specifically that there is no Achrayis in this shtar, it's a proof that Achrayis Toifahu, that if Achrayis is omitted, it really belongs there. Why? Because Tam the Kos of Lehochi, only because it was explicitly written that there is no Achrayis included in the shtar, is there no Achrayis included? Haloi Kos of Hochi, if it would be omitted, then we would say it was just an omission, and Govi, and one could collect. Rav Ashi, however, disagrees. Rav Ashi says Achrayis Lav Taisa Soifahu. That even if Achrayis isn't in the shtar, it doesn't get automatically put in there. What does the Braisa mean that we write the second shtar without Achrayis? All it means is to like Kosovo Achrayis. But according to Rav Ashi, we don't have to go into the entire terminology of writing that I'm selling to you chutz without, but there is no Achrayis. If it's just not there, it's understood that it doesn't belong there. But we follow the halacha of Achrayis to a cipher. That if the Achrayis is missing, we say it was a mistake that it was missing. But there's a machlokes or rishonim how to understand Achrayis to a cipher. The Ramban says that Achrayis to a cipher means that we normally assume that the parties probably agreed to include an Achrayis condition in the contract, and therefore, if it's missing, it indicates that the cipher made a mistake by leaving it out. But, says the Ramban, in a case where we know that the parties expressly forgot to talk about Achrayis, they just forgot to talk about it, then we don't automatically include Achrayis. It's only in a case where we know that they spoke about it, the cipher forgot to put it in. However, the Rambam disagrees. He says that even if Achrayis was left unspoken, we automatically assume that Achrayis is included unless explicitly stated otherwise. That means the machlokes of the Rambam and the Ramban is in a situation where Achrayis was not discussed. What is the fallback? According to the Ramban, the fallback is that it's not automatically included. According to the Rambam, it is automatically included. Says the Gemara, there was a woman that gave money to a shliach lemizman la'ara to buy property on her behalf. And he went and he bought property shloi b'achrayis. Asla kamed Rav Nachman. This question was brought to Rav Nachman. Amrlei, and he said to the shliach, letkuni shadatich v'loy la'afsi. The woman could say to you, I sent you to benefit me, not to harm me. Zil zovne menei shloi b'achrayis. Go repurchase the property without a guarantee, and then sell it back to her with a guarantee. There are many different opinions in the Rishonim on how to understand this Gemara. First, we're going to explain the Gemara according to the way the Rosh explains the Gemara. The Rosh says there's a difference between where the Shliach did not mention to the seller that he was acting as the woman's Shliach, and where he did say. He says, where the shliach didn't say that he's acting as a shliach, so the person wasn't aware that the shliach was buying the property for someone else. So there the halacha is, the shliach automatically assumes ownership of the field, because the seller assumed that he was buying it for himself. He has no ability to give back the field, even though it was sold without a chrayis, because he agreed to buy the field without a chrayis, and when he agreed to buy the field without a chrayis, the seller assumed that he was the customer, and therefore he's considered the legal owner of the field. He's considered the legal owner of the field, and now he takes up his case with the woman who sent her, and now the woman has the choice. she can either demand her money be returned, and the Rishonim say that even if he's willing to give her the fee of Bachrayis, she still has the right to ask for her money back, because she could say, I don't want to buy a field from you even with a Chrayis. I don't trust you. And therefore, the halacha is that she can ask for her money back. However, if the shliach doesn't have money, he now has to sell, but he does have the field, he has to sell the field, but he has to accept upon himself an achrayis stipulation. He has to accept upon himself a achrayis stipulation. Machlokes Rishonim, if there's an extra step required here, that he should go back to the original seller and not buy it again, given that there was some sort of a mistake in the original purchase, or that's not necessary. However, in a case where the seller was aware, again, this is the way the Rosh learned the Gemara, in a case where the seller was aware that the shliach was acting on behalf of the woman, and now the woman refuses to purchase the property because it doesn't have an achrayis in it, this clause in it, now the land reverts back to the seller, who has to give back the woman the purchase money. And the shliach is not, in this case, compelled to take ownership of the field without a chrayis and give it back to the woman with a chrayis, because the seller knew that the shliach wasn't buying it on his own behalf, he was only buying it on behalf of the woman. Furthermore, the Rishonim make a distinction between a case where the seller would have agreed to sell it with a chrayis, just the shliach then asked for it, where there the seller's position is weaker, versus a situation where the seller explicitly said, I'm willing to sell this field, but I want you to know I'm only selling it without a chrayis, where in such a situation his position is stronger. Rav Shimon Gamliel, we learned that the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is that if I'm given from somebody a field as a gift, and as we've said, it's not only in a situation when I'm given to as a gift, it's also if it's sold to me, the same halacha would be, and then I give back the seller or the one who gives me the gift the shtar, that's a valid way of him repurchasing the field. It's not a valid way. When somebody gives a field to somebody else with a document, so Gemara says now the reason is because it's understood that the sale worked, that it's yours as long as you have the shtar. If you don't have the shtar, it's no longer yours. Maskel of Rava, if that's the way to understand this, if that's the way to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, if I lost the document or was stolen from me, does that mean that the field's not mine anymore? Because we're saying that it's only mine as long as I have the shtar. Ela merava, but oisius niknas from Masir Kamufki. The machlag between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon is if just giving over a document is an effective means of kinyan. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Sava oisius niknas from Masirah, that's an effective means of effecting a kinyan. Whereas the Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon hold, that ain't oisius niknas from Masirah, it's not an effective means of creating a kinyan. We just learned the Gemara says that somebody could say, L'tekuni shedatich v'loy la'afsi. That somebody who sends a shliach could tell a shliach, I only appointed you for my benefit, not for my detriment. So Mefarshim explain, with this we can understand a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, V'yikein Yosef is called Adam from Mitzrayim and Paroi. Yosef bought all of the properties of Mitzrayim. Kimakru ish Mitzrayim Yisudeyu. All the Mitzrayim had sold off the properties. V'tia Oretz l'Paroi. And everything became Paroi because everybody sold their properties. They needed the money to buy food. So Mefarshim asks, why does the pasuk say Kimakru Mitzrayim Yisudeyu? That everybody sold their property. Of course I sold my property. Who else could sell their property if not the owner? So Mefarshim say a beautiful teretz. We've learned the halacha is ena nolak akos. That even though the halacha is everything has a price, and if overcharged or overcharged, the sale may be void. By karka, those halachas don't apply. But there is a situation where even by karka, there is oinah. That's if I didn't buy the property myself, a shliach bought the property on my behalf. There I could say to the shliach, as the Gemara just told us, "L'takuni shdatich v'loy la'afsi." I only sent you for my benefit, not for my detriment. Says the pasuk, if the land of Mitzrayim had been sold to Paroi through shlichim, perhaps the original owners could say that we weren't paid the right amount. So the pasuk says, "Kimachru Mitzrayim isudeyu." Everybody sold their own property. If everybody sold their own property, there is no einah. They can't claim that they were cheated. And therefore, the pasuk says, "V'tiyah oretz laparoi," the sale stands, and they can't claim the kunish shadatich v'loy la'afsi. The Arve Nachal quotes an incredible medrash. The medrash says that la'asod lovoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give everybody schar, and according to the way a person lived his life, if he learned Torah, did mitzvahs, he gets the schar. And then the pasuk says, then the medrash says, "Mi she'ein loy chinam ani noisim." Kadosh Baruch Hu says some people are going to get schar b'chinam without any mitzvahs. And we need to understand, how come, how is it possible that someone should get schar, more even maybe, than somebody who learned Torah and did mitzvahs, than versus somebody who didn't do anything and just gets schar b'chinam? So Rabbi Nachal explains, sometimes I get credit for a mitzvah that I didn't do myself. But if I caused somebody else to do a mitzvah, if I caused somebody else to learn, then I get schar for his learning, and I get schar for his doing a mitzvah. But that schar is even a greater schar than if I did the mitzvah myself. For we know when somebody does a mitzvah, he doesn't always do the mitzvah properly. Sometimes he has intentions for kavod. He doesn't do the mitzvah lishma. He doesn't learn Torah always perfectly. However, when somebody is a shliach to cause somebody else to do a mitzvah, so we just learned in our Gemara the concept of l'tekuni shdatich v'loy la'afsi. When I cause somebody else to do a mitzvah, so as far as I'm concerned, he should have done the mitzvah perfectly. And there the concept of l'tekuni shdatich, and everything works in my favor v'loy la'afsi. And the schar that somebody gets for causing someone else to do a mitzvah, the schar that somebody gets for causing somebody else to learn Torah, is a schar that the Medrash calls a schar chinam. It's a schar that came very easily. I didn't have to do the mitzvah. I didn't have to learn. He did the mitzvah and he learned. And it's an easy schar and it's a perfect schar because it's a tkunish tatich v'loy la'afsi.